Ephesians chapter 6. You're going to get old one day. You go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to be looking down from heaven saying, see, it wasn't as easy as you thought. So, just turn to any book of the Bible. Go to chapter number 6, verse number 10. I promise you, no matter where you're at, it's God's word. It's inspired. It may not make sense for what I'm preaching about, but Ephesians, wow, chapter 6, verse number 10. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. Before we do that, let's read the Bible together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the who? Yeah. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would take the thought of this message and help us to carry it out of here tonight. Lord, there's something that we need to understand about the Christian life. There's something that we need to, Lord, tap into if we're going to be able to successfully live the Christian life. So, Lord, I pray that this would be, given to us, first of all, through the scriptures and supported through your word and then illustrated in such a way that we can carry it out and carry it with us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This morning, I told the folks that I was going to preach a message entitled Fighting Above Your Weight Class, Fighting Above Your Weight Class. And let me kind of explain that a little bit, and then I'll tell you a little bit of a story and show you something that Israel Warren sent me from St. Mary's, Alaska, by way of Brother Castle, and that was delivered to my house this week. When you talk about somebody fighting above your weight class, some of you immediately know what I'm talking about. If you've watched any boxing in your life or you're familiar with the sport of boxing, then you understand that in order for there to be a fairness in the combatants, they divide them into weight classes. There's actually 17 weight divisions in professional boxing that's recognized by all four of the main boxing sanctioning bodies. And they would be heavyweight, cruiserweight, light heavyweight, super middleweight, middleweight, super welterweight, welterweight, super lightweight, lightweight, super featherweight, featherweight, super bantamweight, bantamweight, super flyweight, flyweight, junior flyweight. By the way, if you weigh under 105 pounds, you don't get to fight anybody till you grow up and become a man. Amen. So there you go. There's going to be a test afterwards. I hope you got that. And so depending on which class that you're attempting to take the title in or to compete in, you have to stay within a window of weight. You have to be weighed in an official weigh-in, usually the day before the match. And if you weigh over what you're supposed to be, let's say you were, I wanted to fight in the light heavyweight division and the limit is 175 pounds. So, you know what, I'm going to fight this guy and I'm going to try to get the light heavyweight title, and you weigh yourself in on the day before and you weigh 176.5 pounds. Guess what? One of two things happens. You either don't get a fight, or if you do get a fight, it doesn't count as far as you trying to take the title in that weight division. And so, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about fighting above your weight class. Now, something interesting in professional boxing that I think is why this term was birthed. Okay, if I'm like a heavyweight, okay, and that's unlimited pounds. I mean, if that's what I'd want to fight, unlimited pounds, you know. So heavyweight, you can be, you can weigh whatever you want to weigh. It doesn't matter. As long as you don't weigh above 200 pounds, you can weigh whatever you want to weigh and you can go for the heavyweight title. But if I was going to fight for the heavyweight title and I weigh over 200 pounds, I can't say I want to try to take the super middleweight title away from that guy. You can't fight down. You can't challenge somebody lower than you.
Right. But anybody that's lower, let's say we had somebody that was a light heavyweight, and you know what? He decided, I know who the heavyweight champion is, and I'd like to have a shot at his title. He can actually fight above his weight class. And you know what? He doesn't have to weigh that much to fight that guy. Obviously, he better be pretty good, but he can challenge somebody in a higher weight class. And so you say, preacher, where did this sermon title come from? And what's the story behind all of this? Folks, let's understand something from the text. We're all fighting above our weight class. All right, we're all fighting above our weight class. You know, this portion of scripture encourages us, and this will be the main thought of the message, is verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. That next phrase is important. Be strong in your flesh. Be strong mentally. Be super determined. No, you know what it says here? Be strong in the Lord. And then there's a power that the Bible tells us that we can tap into, and in the power of His might. And then it explains why we need to do that. He says, you better put on the armor. You better be strong in the Lord, because you have an enemy, and the enemy, I'm going to tell you, is in a higher weight class than you are. Okay, folks, listen, we're no match for the devil. Young people, I want you to be confident in your Christian walk and confident in Christ. But I don't want you to have a cockiness about you, because let me tell you something. The minute you think you can go out here and do this without God, you'll find out real quick that you can end up on the mat and somebody's over you counting to 10 and you don't even remember what happened to you. Right. And so we're talking about fighting above our weight class tonight. And Brother Israel called me. I'll tell you the backstory about this message. The idea of the message came from Brother Israel Warren. The title of the message came from Brother Israel Warren. The illustration I'm about to show you came from Brother Israel Warren, but he called me on the phone here a while back, and he texted me first. He said, hey, I'd like to talk to you when you got a chance to talk. I want to show you something. And so he starts sending me pictures of this moose antler that he had found. Now, it's a moose shed. And not everybody understands this, and it's the first time you learn this. You're not the only one. I remember growing up for a lot of years seeing deer and just thought, you know, deer started with small antlers, and then they continued to grow, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then one time I remember as a young boy hearing somebody talking about looking for shed antlers, and I thought, what are they talking about? But white-tailed deer, every single around February or March, sometimes earlier, a little bit in January, they'll actually shed their antlers, all of their antlers. I don't care how small they are, how big they are, they just fall off their head. And there'll be people that'll go out and look for those on the ground. You mean that gigantic buck? He grew that all in 1 year? Yes, less than a year. He loses his antlers. That means he's a baldy again. And then he starts growing them in the springtime. And by fall, you know, they start out in velvet. And by fall, and by the way, same process with the moose. I don't care the largest set of moose antlers you ever seen in your life. He shed a pair a little smaller than that the year before and regrew up from scratch. And so Brother Israel Warren, what they do is they go out a lot of times in the early, late winter. In the last few months he's been doing it. They'll go out on snow machines, snowmobiles, and they'll look for these shed antlers laying around the tundra. And these things are worth some money. And then his wife will take some of the ones that are the better ones, and she actually is an artist, and I'll show you in a minute, but she'll paint a picture on them. And she actually sells these online, and that helps to keep them on the mission field. It allows them to be able to take care of their family. For instance, they just had to fly their family recently down to Anchorage, all of the kids, to have a dental appointment. And you know what? There were some of them that had to have extensive dental work. And folks, come on, everyone in here that raised kids, you know that if you do that and you don't have insurance, that costs a lot of money. And so he told me it allows us to be able to care for our family and take care of medical bills and dental bills and things like that that we wouldn't normally be able to do. And so she paints these things, sells them online, and they're just gorgeous. So he calls me all about finding a shed antler. Well, he goes and finds a lot of them every year. And And I already have been up there and I've already seen the paintings and what she does with them and seen pictures of it and all of that. But this one particular shed antler, he was really excited about, and he had a story to tell me about it. It's not really a super large one. And don't get me wrong, that's nice, but this would be on a fairly young bull. And I almost brought my set to just so that you could see a comparison, because, you know, the one I killed, you know, was, I mean, I really can't stretch that far, you know. It's like, you know, from, anyway, it's bigger than this one, all right? And quite a bit bigger than this one. If you take this one and walk in my living room and hold it up to the one there, you'd say, oh my goodness sakes, that's a lot bigger one. But what he wanted to tell me about, what he was so excited about on the phone, was the fact that it was cracked. And I'm thinking, this is going somewhere, because Brother Israel, I'm going to tell you something, he's a thinker. And it's always fun to talk to guys that love the outdoors, because I mentioned it in our Sunday school lesson this morning, but folks, there are so many things in God's creation that God designed to teach us spiritual lessons. And the more you get out, young people, it's me, you know, turn to silly video games, get off the stinking couch, and get out into God's nature. And it's amazing the things that God will teach you just walking around looking at his creation. So he was showing me close-up pictures before she painted. Isn't that beautiful? By the way, I'm going to try to set this where all of you can pick it up and look at it. But Sister Rebecca, Mrs. Warren, painted this. And it's a picture of a smaller bull fighting a larger bull moose, and a smaller set of antlers, larger set of antlers. And he's showing me this, and on the back it's cracked here, deep crack here, punctured here. He just told me, he said, Brother Ross, when I saw the amount of damage on this, he said, I could tell you a couple things about this moose. It wasn't a very old moose, it wasn't a very large moose, but this guy was a fighter. And this guy fought, come on, he fought above his weight class. Because he said another bull this size would not have the power to crack this horn. He said he must have been fighting mature. I mean, mature, 150, come on, a 50 inch class, 60 inch class, 70 inch. I'm talking about the leader of the herd. He was taking on some big bull. He was fighting, listen, above his weight class. And he said because of that, he experienced some damage. But he said this guy was a fighter. And he told me, he said, I think I've got a message I want to preach on. And he called it this. I changed it a little. He said, punching above your weight class. And I said, amen, brother. And he started telling me all about this message and the idea for this message. And I said, man, I think that preached to young people. And then he said, I'm going to have my wife paint a picture on it of two bull fighting a smaller one, taking on a larger one and winning the fight. And I said, man, that's a good idea, brother. I said, you ought to preach that to young people. They need to hear that, you know. And hey, young people, you do need to hear it. Because God's asked you to do some fighting. I'm going to read you some fighting verses. Come on. Psalms 144, verse 1, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The Apostle Paul, folks, was a fighter. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, for every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, and they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, and we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. You know, here's the Apostle Paul, so fight I. He's talking about in the spiritual realm. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know what he was saying? He's saying, when I get in a fight, I let the guy know he's been in a fight. I don't just swing to beat the air. I swing to win the fight. Right. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here's the old warrior. Come on. The Apostle Paul writing a young preacher, and he says this, but thou, O man of God. I like it. I like that the old preacher recognized the young preacher and called him a man of God. Because I don't care how old he is, if he's been called in the ministry, that he's a man of God. And I love that he showed him that respect. And he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And somebody will read that far and think, yes, yes, you know, a preacher needs to be righteous and godly and faithful and loving and patient and have meekness. And then the next words are this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. How about when he got to the end of his life? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He looked back at his life and he summarized it in three ways. And he started with this: I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept my faith. And young men, listen to me. Man, we're going to talk about it for a little bit, but there needs to be a toughness. There needs to be a spiritual toughness that's learned in our young men, because I'm telling you, the devil's out there and he's waiting and he wants to take out each and every one of you. And you know what? You're going to spend your whole life fighting above your weight class. Come on, he's more experienced. He's older. He's taken out more people. He's been very successful at what he's done. And if you're going to survive, you're going to have to learn to be a fighter. Well, think about that. So Brother Israel's telling me all of this. And then he starts sending me pictures of what his wife is painting on this. And at first it was just sketched out and he had an idea. And then all of a sudden he calls me one day and he said, I'd like you to come up with a verse to put on the back of this thing. And then I said, well, let me think about it and I'll text you back. And he said, Brother Ross, he said, I'm going to be at the men's meeting in Alaska. And I know you can't come this year, but Brother Cass is going to be there. And he said, this is what the Lord told me to do. When we get this thing all done, I want to send it to you. He said, you preach to more young people than I preach to. Most of my life, I'm going to be up here in St. Mary's without much of an opportunity to preach to anybody else than my people. And he said, what do you think about this? Would you take this thing and would you go around the country with it? And would you just tell a generation of young people that we need them? We need them. I was going to save this for later on the message, but you know, Brother Israel right now, and he's organized. He called me about a month ago and he said, let me tell you, I got an idea. This man's not just got a burden for St. Mary's, Alaska, or that part of Alaska. God's growing his burden and his vision for the entire state. And he's starting to travel to different places in Alaska and see what the need is. And he got on the phone recently and he said, down in southeastern, folks, that's almost Florida, southeastern Alaska. I'm trying to sell some of you on it, all right? Southeastern Alaska, he said, there's two situations. He said, there's an island down there that has some native people and they already have a church building and they are begging for a missionary to come. A missionary came years ago and helped them build the building and got some of them to Christ, and then he couldn't do it any longer. And for several years, they've tried to meet without a pastor and they need somebody. He said, there's another man that's not far from there. And he said, I went and visited with him and he's an older preacher and he's in his 70s. His health is failing. And he found a young man that said he was called to Alaska. So he moved him up there and the young man came and had all of his support and stayed for a few months and turned around and left. And he was getting ready to hand the ministry over to him and he turned around and left. And that 76-year-old man is still, come on, every single Sunday morning getting up and pushing himself to the pulpit and trying to keep that church open. And he said, Brother Ross, he said, that part of Alaska, there's two open doors. There's a great need. There's not hardly anything going on down there. He said, I'm just going to plan a trip if people could meet me. He said, if you know of any young preacher could come to Alaska, that you think is tough enough and spiritual enough and strong enough to come to a tough area. We have two opportunities here, and they need a preacher. Amen. They need somebody to come. And I told him, I said, Brother Israel, and by the way, if you read the chapter in my book about people that serve in third world type situations, and in Alaska in particular, I say there's certain things that you better have in place if you're going to go to a place like that. But one of them is, you got to have some determination. You got to have some toughness about it. Parents, listen to me. I'm begging you. If we're raising a generation of sissy boys and pretty boys, we don't have a chance to reach this country, because I don't care where you go to serve God, it's going to be hard. And we are babying our boys too much. We need to toughen them up. I mean, we need young men, come on, that's willing to fight above their weight class. Alaska needs some young men. I'm thinking, are we raising any young men in the lower 48 that can go up there and be tough enough to face that kind of of the kind of things they got to face up there and just stay and stick it out, because these old preachers are not just dying off in Alaska, folks. They're dying off all across the country. And I can't tell you how many preachers are just holding on for dear life and don't have the health to do it, but are having to do it anyway, because you know what? Where are the young men? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? But it's one thing to say, I'll go do it. It's another thing to understand what you're signing up for. And I don't care where you minister, it's going to be hard. I don't care where you minister, there's got to be some things that's true about you. Now this moose, I never met him personally, but he left behind a souvenir. But he left also a testimony with his souvenir. This guy right here was willing to fight other bull moose that were bigger than him, more heavenly antlered than him. And he was willing to do it to the extent where he cracked his antlers fighting above his weight class. And folks, listen to me. I will tell you this. If you're going to serve the Lord, I don't care if you're in the layman in the pew serving the Lord or you're a preacher in the pulpit serving the Lord. Let me tell you something. You do 40 years of battle against the devil, you're going to have some scars. Come on, it's going to take a toll on you. But that's okay, because you don't have to do it in the power of your might. Thank God, God's provided us some armor. Thank God we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And yeah, you may get beat up a little bit, and show me any of God's servants that didn't get beat up a little bit, but you know what? It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. And you know, with God's help, you can serve the Lord. You can serve the Lord. So Brother Israel's all excited to tell me about this message. And next thing you know, this arrives at my house. And now it's become my responsibility. And I told him, I said, Brother Israel, by the way, I just want to say, he'll probably watch this later on, that I want to thank him. I want to thank his wife for sending this to me. I'm not so dumb and ignorant not to know that this was also sent as a little bit of encouragement. Because your preacher's right now fighting above my weight class. Amen. And folks, it's just not the devil that you're going to have to face, young people. You don't know what you're going to have to face in life. But there's going to be times every one of us get into a battle where you're fighting above your weight class. And you say, preacher, this is hard and this is too much for me. And I can't handle this. And I just feel like throwing in the towel and letting the devil win. I just feel like rolling over and quitting. Everybody in here's felt like that at times. But you know what? Then what? Come on, then what testimony have we left for the next generation? What example have we set for the young people growing up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? You know, they've watched enough people turn away and walk away and quit. They don't need to see the preacher do it. Come on, deacons, they don't need to see you do it. Sunday school teachers, come on now. I trust you with that class. I put you in there. You're a big deal to those kids. Don't you let the devil take you out. Don't you quit on God. Amen, because you know what? They need to see. Come on, older folks, senior saints, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your testimony. I'm so thankful for your example. Because a lot of our senior saints are facing some pretty difficult things right now. But every time you're able to walk in that door, you're a testimony to the young people in this church. And so got to thinking about fighting, come on, above our weight class. And I got to think that all through the Bible, God's asked people to fight above their weight class. Folks, you think about the Israelites. They came out of Egypt and God delivered them with a strong hand. Egypt was stronger than them, and yet it was Egypt that drowned in the Red Sea, not them. Right. Then they fight across the wilderness, get all the way to Canaan land, and they send in 12 spies. And come on, folks, you know what they found out? They brought up an evil report. 10 of them brought up an evil report of the land that they had searched into the children of Israel. This is what they said. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. And 10 of them said, I'm sorry, but they're stronger and they're bigger and they're more dug in. And they live behind fortresses. And we can't do it. And then there was a couple of young bull mooses in the group. Come on now. Oh, come on. Thank God for Joshua. Thank God for Caleb that just said, yeah, you know what? The rules are this. If you weigh a certain amount, you can't pick a fight down. But if you don't weigh so much, you can pick a fight up. And you know what? Our God is able to deliver them into our hands. Our God is the one that said that he's given us this land. We can do this. And I love when a couple young bull mooses just step up when everybody else is saying, we can't, we can't, we can't. And somebody says, yes, we can. With God, we can. I mean, you think about the Bible. It's full of these stories. We have Gideon's 300 versus the Midianites. And, you know, God shows up and Gideon's threshing wheat and he's hiding from the Midianites. And the angel shows up and says, and calls him a mighty man. He said, man, you got me mistaken with someone else. I'm a member of the least of the tribes and I'm the least of my father's house. And you got me mixed up with somebody else. And you know what he was saying? He was saying, listen to me. You're asking me to fight above my, come on, above my weight class. And he said, you know what? You can do it with the Lord's help. You know what Israel needed at that time? A man that would stand up and believe in God. A man that would take on an enemy that seemed like they were undefeatable. And so he put out the word and gathers an army. And this army shows up and God says, too many. Come on, too many. I mean, you got 10,000 and they have a army. This was the exact number of the Midianites. Innumerable. Versus 10,000, God says, that's too many. And he whittles it down and he says, that's still too many. And then, you know what? He ends up with 300 and God said, you know what? Let's go. I think that's about the right number. Let's go. Let's go. You say, preacher, I can't. I know. But if you'll trust God and do it anyway, when you win the victory, you know what? It won't be you that gets the glory. It'll be God that gets the glory. God likes looking around for a bunch of nobodies and say, you know what? You'd make a good preacher. You'd make a good missionary. Preacher, I don't think I could handle an Alaska. You and God could. I don't think I have what it takes to be a preacher. If God's created you to be a preacher and calls you to be a preacher, I promise you what? Promise you this. You and God can do it. You and God can do it. You think about this. And what's the most classic? Come on. What's the most classic small bull moose versus the giant of the forest? Come on. David and Goliath. Here's Goliath's description. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Picture that monstrosity of a man of war from his youth. And then you got this little, come on, most people believe that David was between 16 and 19 years old, somewhere in that window. And you got this shepherd boy that shows up with a sling. He didn't even bring any stones for it. He had to go down to the creek and get some ammunition for his sling. Right. And he didn't show up there thinking he was going to get into the fight of his life. But you know what? When God allowed him to hear what that giant was saying, and when he heard that giant blaspheme the God of heaven, there's something inside of him that said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Somebody needs to do something about that. And because he began to open his mouth, come on, he started getting criticized. Are you listening to me? And you know what? Cowards will always criticize courage. And the people that won't stand for God will always criticize someone who will stand for God. Write it down, young people. And you know what? He went in to Saul and he said, you know what? I don't have a lot of experience. And no, I've never been a soldier, but there was a bear once. And there was a lion once. And God let me defeat them. And you know what? I don't see the difference. If God would let me slay a bear and a lion to protect my sheep, why wouldn't the same God give me the same strength? Come on, he wasn't counting on shepherd strength. Well, he was, but he was counting on the great shepherd's strength, I think. And, you know, if you look at the Bible, all through the Bible, we see examples of this. And I talked to Brother Israel, and I said, all right, What do you think about this guy? I know you haven't seen him, but what do you think about this guy? And why was he willing to take on foes? Why was he willing, come on, to fight above his weight class? Tell me what you know about this, and how could he possibly win? And he got to thinking about all the years that he was up there and all of the times he's a great study of nature. He sent me a picture a few years ago of this monster moose. I mean, monster. I mean, this thing, it was so big, it was on the way down. You whitetail hunters know that, you know, a set of antlers will peak at a certain point. And then actually, as they get older, their antlers start going down instead of getting bigger. And this big moose actually had started going down in size. And I couldn't believe the size of this moose. And he said, this one's a killer. He said, I have watched this thing twice. Twice I've watched this thing get in a fight with another bull moose and kill that bull moose. I mean, a smaller one thought he was going to take down Grandpa, and he killed him. He said, I came upon the remains of a big old brown bear that he'd gotten in a fight with and killed that brown bear. He said, he's a killer. And, you know, you think about that. When I'm talking about a small bull moose taking on a larger one, folks, that's not a small thing. And he said, well, let me just say this. He said, I haven't watched this one. I don't even know which moose it is, but I can tell you a couple of things about him. He said, there's some young bull mooses that have more perseverance than the larger ones do. Come on. What do you mean by perseverance? It's just more determination. I mean, the bigger moose will knock them down. The bigger moose will knock them down. The bigger moose will knock them down. But the problem is, they just keep getting up, and they just keep getting up, and they just keep getting up, and they're more determined, and they're more determined, and they're more determined. And sometimes a larger moose will just say, you know what? I can beat this thing to the ground time and time again, but you know what? Every time I do, he gets back up, and I got to fight some more, and it's just not worth it. And the bigger moose will just go over to greener pastures, and that little bull moose will be standing there, and you know what? He won. And that's why I want you to get something in your hearts. Young people, listen to me. This matter of quitting all the time. You start something and you quit. You never get to the finish of everything. You come to a few obstacles in life, and next thing you know, you're sitting there and you're an emotional mess and your feelings are hurt and somebody said this, and so you're wanting to quit something. Oh, are you kidding me? You think you're going to serve the Lord? If you are that weak, there's no more determination inside of you than that. You know what, folks? I believe this is biblical. Paul said this, it's part of his testimony. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I love this. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know what that means? That means that Paul, come on, if you study his life, he was knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. But the thing about it was, what made Paul a success was that every single time he got knocked down, he got back up. Every time he faced trouble in one city, he'd dust himself off and he'd go to the next city and do it again. Right. You know, they would throw him in prison. They would stone him. They would threaten his life. And you know what? He just said, you know what? I'm in a fight. And I understand I'm in a fight outside of my weight class. But I'm going to tell you something. With God's help, come on, young people, with God's help, the devil might knock you down and he might discourage you, but you have got to learn to get back up. David encouraged himself in the Lord at one of the lowest points when even his own men had turned against him. There's got to be something inside of you that knows how to get to God and get the strength that you need to get back up on your feet and get back in the battle. I mean this, folks, I'm not mad at anybody. But we could turn this nation around. We could win this thing. If Christians that used to serve God are now backslidden, sitting at home doing nothing, would just decide to get back up and get back in the battle. We wouldn't have enough pews in all the independent Baptist churches in America to seat them all. And we could have a revival if we just had some young bull mooses and say, all right, you cracked my antler, so what? You poked a hole in it, so what? You knocked me down, so what? Son, I hope you brought your lunch because we're going to be here all day. And there has to be in the heart of every Christian that gets anything done. Come on. The Warrens, folks, listen to me. They're fighting above their... this means something to me because I know where they're at and I've been there and I've seen the challenges. And you know what? They're fighting above their weight class. When they went to St. Mary's, Alaska, they decided to get in a fight that's above their weight class. That place is a satanic stronghold. But somebody's got to go there. And somebody's got to preach the gospel. And somebody's got to stay. And somebody's got to get discouraged and then figure out how to get encouraged. They got to get knocked down and figure out how to get back up. They got to face setbacks, reload, and get right back into the battle. And that's why I've got so much admiration for this family. And if you read my book on Alaska, you know, I devoted about half a chapter to, come on, young ladies, to Mrs. Warren. Because it just doesn't take a man of God to go to a place like that. It takes a woman of God to go to a place like that. Come on. And come on, young ladies. Come on, young moms. You're crying every time your husband serves the Lord a little bit too much and you don't feel like you're getting enough attention. Then you know what? You need to figure out what it is and what we're into. Okay? I mean, you know, I've said this, but I couldn't do it without that lady right there. And brother, I've come home bloodied in battle and discouraged. And you know what? I didn't have a wife sitting beside me, pat my hand, talk to me how maybe we ought to just go quit and do something else. Right. You know, there's a way you can serve the Lord. There it is. Find them, my brother, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So number one, this young bull moose, he has to fight with more perseverance than his enemy. He just can't quit. Number two, he said the smart young bulls, when they get into a fight with a larger bull, he said, you'll watch them. They will back themselves up to a place where they can find a hillside. Come on, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Because you know what? Hey, you go to any book on military strategy, and you know what? Every single successful military general will teach and tell you is, you know what? If you're going to get into battle, you've got to get on the higher ground. Because that young bull moose now isn't just fighting with his strength, but he's fighting with the power of gravity. And it's a lot harder to be trying to climb a hill and push up than push your full weight down the hill on someone who's trying to climb up. It's just, I'm telling you, no moose ever went to West Point, but these fighters like this guy is smart enough to know if I'm going to beat an enemy that's bigger than me and stronger than me, then I better get to higher ground. Remember, folks, be strong in the Lord. The closer you can get to Jesus and the closer you can stay to God, the more time you stay in your King James Holy Bible, the more time you'll spend in prayer, the more that you'll live on higher ground, I promise you, you got a better chance of winning this thing. Don't let the enemy, you know what? When an enemy sees that their opponent's on higher ground, most of the time they won't want to attack uphill. And now what they'll do instead is try to find a way to deceive the enemy into coming off the higher ground. Oh, I wish Independent Fundamental Baptist was listening to me right now. All across this country. We don't need to be dropping standards. We don't need to be coming down to the level of the devil. We need to keep the higher ground. Maintain the higher standards. Okay? Be holy because God is holy. Stay on that higher ground. Our best chance of winning, and when we won the most, is when we had distinctive biblical standards and lived by them, and the world could tell the difference between us and them. And so we need to find that higher ground. Think about that. Wow. Walk with the Lord. Tap into his strength. Tap into his power. You can't beat the devil, but you have a God that can beat the devil. So keep that higher vantage point. Let me give you the third one. He fights with the willingness to die rather than lose. He said, there's something about some of these young bulls that he said, when they get in a fight with the big one, you know, I talk about that big boy killing that little one. Well, why didn't the little one quit and run off? Because some of these bulls are just wired to say, I'm going to either win or I'm going to die, but I'm not going to retreat. I taught a series of lessons on the 16 attributes of the early New Testament church. And one of the lessons we taught when we examined the Christians in the book of Acts, I think every week, 16 weeks, I said the same thing. 21st century Christians could learn a lot from first century Christians. And they had something called a martyr's mentality. And you know what? They were willing to take it all the way. They were. You say, is that Bible? Revelation 21:11, and they overcame him. Overcame who? The devil. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Young people, you know what? You got to understand, and you got to get into this thing and get dedicated to the point where, you know what? I'm going to serve God and I'm going to live for God. And you know what? Rather than quit, I will die serving God, but I'll never quit serving God. And when you get into it to that level, you're going to start seeing some victories that you'll never see till you get there. As long as you've got an escape hatch, as long as you've got a bridge that you haven't burned, that you can jump on and head back into the world, you're never going to serve God the way you ought to serve the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. I love it. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, according to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it is by life or by death. He said, listen, one way or another, I'll live for God or I'll die for God, but I'm not forsaking God. And we need people like the Israel Warren family that just listens to the call of God and says, I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to serve God. And you know what? We're going to buy our cemetery plots when we get there, because you know what? We aren't leaving. We're staying. We're going to be here. And you know what? We're either going to win this community to Christ or they're going to have to kill us off. And we've got to get back to that level of dedication. Think about that. Think of David. We'll finish with this, but think of David. I already talked about them. He said this. Is there not a cause? What was he saying when he said, is there not a cause? I feel like David's brothers. I would probably be one of the guys that would come to him and say, son, I know you mean well, but, you know, have you looked in the mirror lately? Yep. Have you looked across the hill? You know, it'd been easy for somebody. You can criticize his brothers, but you can kind of see the mismatch here. And that's why Saul said, well, here, at least put on my armor. And he tried to put it on, and Saul was, you know, half a head taller than anybody else, and that didn't fit him. And he finally said, I can't even move in this. I haven't proved these things. He said, just give me my sling and my stones and God. Do you hear that? Give me my slings and my stone and God. Yeah. And everybody's trying to talk him out of it, and some of them are even criticizing him for it. Come on, his own brothers. Right. But something had got a hold of his soul. And he said this, is there not a cause? Now, what are you saying with this, young people? I want you to get this. There is a cause. There is something worth living for. There is something, if I'm asked to, that's worth dying for. Right, every once in a while, we just stop in 21st century America in a Bible preaching church and be confronted with this question. You know, would you be willing to die for the Lord? Would you be willing to die rather than turn your back on this book? Would you be willing to die rather than to, come on, blaspheme and turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the old saying is this. I heard the preachers preach it when I was little. The old evangelists would come in, they'd ask us those kind of questions. Then they'd say this. Don't tell me you're willing to die for the Lord if you won't live for him. And somebody's not willing to live for the Lord. You can say everything you want to. You're not willing to die for the Lord. And a lot of people that are trying to live for the Lord, you know what? They'll live for him, but we'll come on, this is good for us. You know, how do we fight, preacher? How do we fight above our weight class? I mean, the devil, he's experienced at this. He's good at this. He's been doing it longer. He's stronger. He's more powerful than any of us. Come on, I'll finish with this. Finally, my brother, there it is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Young people, are you strong with God? Come on. Are you strong with your relationship with his word? Are you on him? Do you have that relationship that's, come on, first name basis? I mean, he knows you, you know him. You spend time with him, he spends time. Is it real or is it just mom and dad's thing? Because there's an enemy waiting out there. And young people, if you're going to serve God, you'll spend your whole life fighting above your weight class. But you can do it. You say, preacher, how? Well, I think maybe God sent a young bull moose, created him in Alaska, allowed a missionary to find his antler to help us understand how it can be done. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your care for us, your love for us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the little ways that you teach us valuable lessons. Thank you that your creation preaches to us, teaches us. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just bless. Thank you, dear Lord, for, Lord, a church that loves you, people that are trying to serve you. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to raise up young people, Lord, that could be used in just some unusual and specific way. That somewhere, Lord, early on in their life, you just put within their heart, Lord, that spiritual toughness, that spiritual determination. Help them to live on higher ground. That way, anytime the devil attacks, they're already on the higher ground. Lord, I pray, dear God, that they'd have a commitment to you and an understanding of a cause that's much greater than even their own life. Lord Jesus, do something in our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name.